A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you I'm going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. But the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do just as the Father has commanded me." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says something characteristically astonishing in today's Gospel. Taken from the Last Supper, he explains to his apostles hours before he would be brutally arrested and on the vigil before his crucifixion, he would say, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." Later on, he'd say, "The ruler of this world is coming, the Prince of Darkness. He's no power over me." But the reason why he would allow the devil through the devil's henchmen here on earth to do all that mangled the good Lord was so that the world would know that Jesus loved the Father and that he does just as the Father has commanded. Jesus was going to lose that peace even when he was being scourged. But with that peace, he was going to approach like a lamb being led to the slaughter, his crucifixion. So the world would know just how much he loves the Father and loves those whom the Father loves, namely us. And that he'll be obedient and never lose the peace, even when he's going to have to do something that no human being would ever willingly want to sign up for. Jesus gave us this example so that we would grasp what real peace is. And have it even in the midst of all the vicissitudes we will face in life. What is peace? Peace is a tranquility of order. It means that we're on right terms with God. That's why Jesus was always wishing us shalom. That's what his first words were when he rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples. Peace be with you. And he had come to sign that definitive peace treaty between God and us for the forgiveness of our sins in his own redemptive blood. Peace be with you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. It's that great peace as long as we receive God's gift. No matter what hell breaks loose around us, we'll maintain that tranquility of order. You know, Jesus would say elsewhere in the Gospel, "I have come not to bring peace, but the sword." And from now on, houses are going to be divided. 3 against 2, 2 against 3, mothers against children, fathers-in-law against sons-in-law, etc. How do these two go together? Jesus is coming to give us his own gift of peace. But not everybody's going to want to receive that peace. And around us it may cause conflict. We see this all the time. When a wife grows in her faith, a lot of the times the husband gets jealous. He doesn't want her joining the Legion of Mary. He doesn't want her spending more time in church, even though she still spends plenty of time with him. When a young man or a young woman decides in a contraceptive culture that God's calling them to be a priest or a consecrated woman, a lot of the times the family members who prize children will carry on their own name more than God's own name start to get all disturbed and try to fight against a child or a grandchild saying yes to God and following God all the way. Yes, there will be a sword that comes as a result of the Lord's action. But that doesn't mean it's supposed to rob us individually of our peace. Even in the midst of some familial vicissitudes, we can remain with that tranquility of order in the Lord. Pope Francis last year for this reading said that the gift of peace that Jesus gives us is the gift of the Holy Spirit with the fruit of peace. For the Holy Spirit's poured into our souls so that we might never lose that gift. We see the real power of this gift in today's first reading. St. Paul was dragged out of the city and stoned to death, just like he had presided over the stoning of St. Stephen. St. Luke tells us here that after they stoned him and dragged him out of the city, they supposed that he was dead. Now let me ask you this. If there was a stoning that took place across the street, would you just suppose somebody was dead? What would we do, even if none of us were trained medical personnel? Would test if somebody had a pulse? Would test if somebody was breathing? The ancients all did this. Paul was dead. But what happened next? The disciples gathered around him. They prayed. They asked the Lord to raise him from the dead. And Paul had that foretaste of the resurrection. And what did Paul do? Well, we can just imagine what it's like to be crucified. He'd have some of the greatest lumps you could ever imagine all over his body. Black and blue everywhere. Perhaps even some broken bones. But what did he do? He didn't rise up and say, "Get me to a hospital." He rose up and entered back into the city, exactly where they had stoned him. And on the following day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe, which had already kicked him out. And after they proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra, which had kicked them out, and Iconium, which had kicked them out, and Antioch, which had kicked them out. And then they descended that incredible rock cliff on which Antioch and Pisidia was built. And then they went the opposite way through the malaria-infested swamp, all with the peace that Christ had given. The peace of that Holy Spirit inside them, the peace that the world can't give or rob. And all the way as they were going along, they strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." That it's not a contradiction that Christ is going to give us a peace that will always last, and at the same time we're going to have to suffer many hardships to enter into his kingdom. Rather than being a contradiction, the two are consistent, because it's in our peacefully suffering those hardships that we're able to show everybody else what Jesus showed us by his suffering is. That we love the Father, and that we do what the Father has commanded with peace, even should we be stoned, even should we be crucified, even should we be mocked. This is the good news of the Lord. Today, as we come forward here at Mass, we come to receive the Prince of Peace, come to hear his words and receive his encouragement. We come to beg him to send his Holy Spirit to take away whatever robs us from peace, which is not hardship, but our sins are voluntarily dissociating ourselves from God. So we prepare to say, "Lamb of God, you who take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, have mercy on us." We recognize that it's through this gift that the Lamb of God likewise gives us his peace. As we prepare in this Mass to share that peace with each other, let's remember that to share Christ's peace with each other, it's not just a greeting of hello, but it's to seek always to share God. And that's what we are called by God to do to everyone we will meet today. May we wish them in our own being this great gift of the Lord's own peace. Praise be Jesus Christ.